We are living in a time of a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, and fear takes many forms, many shapes, different for all of us. As many people as there are, that's how fear manifests itself. That's how many ways fear can manifest itself. We've seen it all over the place. We're becoming, fear can overtake us now, and of course with COVID and everything else, and we've seen the numbers in our county rising, and you might have fear for your own health. Certainly, I'm sure many of us have fear for the health of others and how they might handle things. We have fear maybe not even about health, but what happens if I have to quarantine, and what happens to my job? Will my finances be there? Will my business be there if I'm forced to quarantine? And we have fears now about election, and that became doubly so as a justice seat is now open, and what's going to happen there, and what'll happen in November, and people on the West Coast have fears about property and their lives and fires and all those things, and in the South, fear about flooding. It's all over the place. There are reasons to fear, and in this passage, as we look at Abram, who eventually becomes Abraham, we see too that he has fear. And we know he has fear because it's the very thing God addresses first. Don't be afraid. Do not fear. Back in Genesis chapter 12, Abram was called by God to leave the land of his fathers, to go to a foreign land, because God wanted to bless him and cause Abraham to be a blessing to all the nations on earth. The Lord tells him, whoever curses you, I will curse. Whoever blesses you, I will bless. And Abram, with ears of faith, hears the word of the Lord and is obedient to God's call, and he goes to a land he's never been to. But now, as the Lord addresses him in a vision, Abraham is afraid. He's done what God has called him to do. He has been given these promises by God, but he has a problem. He has no children. He and his wife, they're well beyond childbearing years, and even so, he and his wife have been unable to have children anyway throughout their lives. And so Abraham's fear, it might be different than ours. We might be able to relate to it. We might not. But he's afraid that when he dies, it's all going to be for nothing. That his lineage will come to an end, and God's promise and his leaving of his father's land will have been for nothing. He is afraid. There's a song on Christian radio that if you listen to Christian radio at all, you've probably heard. I think the singer is Zach Williams or Williamson, something like that. He has a song called Fear, He is a Liar. And in this song, he personifies fear. Like fear is a person and is an entity that is speaking certain things to you and has a will in mind and wants to take control of you. Fear, really, in this case, it has a word. It is the word of the world. It is the word of Satan. It is the word of our own sinful flesh attacking us, trying to draw us away from the Lord. In this song, he says that fear will take your breath. It'll stop you in your steps. It'll rob you of your rest. It's going to steal your happiness. He says fear will speak to you and tell you that you're not good enough, that you're not right, that you're not strong enough, that you're not worthy, that you are not loved, that you're not beautiful, that you are not enough. This, for Zach, is the word of fear. That is the word the world pours upon us. The word that Satan utters to us at all times, the word that our own sinful head whispers into us. that we're not worthy, not loved, not good enough. Fear will tell you that when you're troubled, you are alone. That you'll never have a place to call home, that when you have sin, that you should be ashamed. And that grace will never be able to reach you. This is the word of fear. This is the word that the world whispers to us, that Satan utters, that our flesh speaks. It gives us tunnel vision. It consumes us. It beats us down. It causes us it so that all we can see is the fear that is before us. Abram experiences this. He is afraid that God will not honor his promise, that it was all for nothing, that when he dies, it's all over. All he can see is what he can't control, which is to have children. He can't see a way out. Fear does this for us too. It shows us only what we can't control, and we can't look past it. Fear causes us to look at our own sins, our own failures, our faults, and only know failure and despair. But in Abram's fear, the word of the Lord comes and speaks louder than the word of fear. The word of the Lord comes to him and says, "Fear not." Literally, he says, "I am your shield." Our scripture translates that as, "I will protect you." Lord's literal words are, "I am your shield." All the flaming arrows of the evil one, the nasty remarks of the world, your own thoughts, God vows to Abraham to protect him from all of it, to stand before him as a shield in battle. "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield." Then the Lord speaks to him, and he doubles down on his promise. He tells them, "Yes, you will have a son." And the language is very specific, almost graphic. He tells Abram specifically and literally, "You will have a son from your own flesh." He tells him, "No, you won't have to adopt somebody from your household. You will have a son that is biologically yours." God doubles down on the promise. And then he does something beautiful for him. He attaches this promise to something Abraham can see, something visual. He takes Abram outside and says, "Look up at the stars. Can you count them? Can you number them? As many stars as you see, that's how many descendants you will have. As many stars as you can see, so shall your offspring be." And I imagine Abram, for years after this, whenever he goes out and looks up into the night sky, is reminded of God's promise for him in a very visible way. The word of the Lord is greater than the word of fear, the word of the world, certainly the word of Satan, and the word our own sinful hearts speaks back to us. The word of the Lord is greater. The word of the Lord says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped." That's from Psalm 28. Jesus himself tells his disciples as he's about to leave, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Lord Jesus guarantees us his spirit. He says, "I will send my spirit to you to be a comforter to you." The Lord tells us in Deuteronomy, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. These are promises for you. Our Lord Jesus tells us also that all who believe in his name, he gives right to become children of God. That is a promise you can bank on. You, by faith, are a child of God. And it's by faith and faith alone that you are worthy to be a child of God. You don't need to worry about whether you're good enough, because you're not. But faith makes you so. The Lord and his word, just as he gave something visible to Abraham to see and to be reminded of his promises, gives us something also tangible, visible, that we can hold on to remember his promises. Every time you look at the baptismal font, be reminded of what God has done for you there, that he has washed you, has given you the spirit of regeneration and new birth, that he has claimed you as his own. And this morning, as we eat of the bread and the wine, we are reminded that we are consuming the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, the promise of God given to us in a physical, tangible way. The word of the Lord defeats the word of fear. Rest in faith and hear God's word with ears of faith. Amen.